Douglas Crook, Wednesday, December 22nd, 2010.
In our topical study in the book of Proverbs, we are ready to consider chapter 13, verse 14. And if you're turning in your Bible, if you're using the study guide, we're ready for page 4, where we have the subject heading of insight and ignorance as the main heading there. And then we have a subheading. The first subheading under that heading is wisdom and folly. So in your study book, page 4, if you just have your Bible, which you'll be fine if you'll just listen to the references, we're going to read the first one in Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 14. Now, as we read these under the subheading of wisdom and folly, obviously, these are still pretty general, simply because this is the theme of the entire book of Proverbs, is a contrast between wisdom and folly. So this is still a pretty broad theme, and yet it's a good one that these can be these can fall under, so we can consider them under this. All through the book, we're considering the contrast between the benefits that come from being wise. And you are wise if you fear the Lord, if you trust the Lord, if you obey the Lord, you're wise. And then these benefits you will experience. And then folly is to ignore the Lord, to not to fear Him, not to believe Him, not to trust Him. And the result of that folly, that foolishness, there are many negative consequences. And so those are the things that we're going to continue to look at in a broad sense. And as we continue the topics, then they get more and more specific and in specific areas of our life. But in verse 14 of Proverbs 13, we'll start with this one this evening. The law of the wise is a fountain of life, to turn one away from the snares of death. The law of the wise, the instruction of a wise person, the instruction of a person who fears God and trusts God, is a fountain, a source of life. And if that instruction is heeded, the one who hears it and heeds it then will be turned away from the snares of death. This verse emphasizes the value of the teaching of wise teachers. Not only the public teachers that are gifted and given ministries to the church, but every child of God who matures in the things of the Lord should be a teacher. And many times it's done one-on-one. Many times it may just be your children, your family, your friends. But everyone who fears the Lord should mature to a place where they can lead others first to salvation and then others to deeper understanding of the truth. So this tells us the value of a wise teacher. Teachers who teach sound doctrine, they are to be valued and esteemed as important as your source of drinking water. Now, this statement here, it does tell us just how important the Word of God is, not only as you read it for yourself in the Bible, but as it flows through God's people as they impart it to others. We need to understand that it's a source, a fountain of refreshing water. And if we will heed the instruction of those who have taught us the will of God, stop and think about those in your life who have taught you spiritual truths. And again, for many of you, as you think about that, and I want you to actually take time to think, who taught you some of the most principal, essential truths of the gospel? And as some of you are thinking, many of you will probably think of those who weren't actually teachers or preachers. Now, hopefully there'll be some in there that were instrumental in that. But many of you will also know godly men and women that simply expressed to you in their own life, as well as in godly counsel, truths. And we need to esteem them as fountains of life. When we heed the instruction that comes through God's people, through wise men and women, it'll keep us from many snares. And the emphasis here in Proverbs is from premature death. We've already considered a number of times that godliness promotes health in general. And on the other side of that is sin. A carnal, sinful life promotes early death, because that's just the nature of sin. And that's part of what this verse is emphasizing, from the snare of death, if you heed that wise instruction. Now, all my life, I've had the privilege of being exposed to the teaching of a number of good Bible teachers, again, both in and out of the pulpit. And this assembly, as I've mentioned many a times, has been blessed with many gifted teachers of the Word of God. And oftentimes, that source of wisdom, now obviously they're not the source of it, but they are the instrument, they are the fountain through which that wisdom comes. Jesus Christ is the source. But many times we do fail to appreciate the yielded instruments that God has given. And I have seen down through the years where individuals have not fully appreciated what God had given them. But as I consider my own life and I look at those that have had a part in forming my spiritual life, I realize how important their input was in my life. It's as important as me needing to find a place to drink. Isn't that what Job said as well, that the Word of God was more important and more necessary than his daily food? This is the thought behind this passage. The Apostle Paul tells us the same. If you want to turn to 1 Thessalonians 5, these truths that come through willing instruments, these wise teachers, they the truth that has come through them to me and then to each of you have given me life. First, because I got saved, got eternal life. But it's that abundant life as I continue to walk in these truths. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verses 12 and 13. Now, in your workbooks, those that aren't familiar with them, in your study books, you'll only find the references in Proverbs. When I expand a little bit and give other references, they're not going to be in your study book, so you'll need to use your Bible as well. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 12 and 13. And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. The Apostle Paul gave these words, and it echoes the truth of the proverb we just read. Why would you esteem them for their work's sake? Now, it doesn't say that you like them because of their personality or their looks or because they're great speakers or whatever. But you esteem them for their work's sake. Well, what is their work's sake? It is to proclaim the wisdom of the Scriptures. And the men and women that are faithful to do that, both in and out of the pulpit, those are the individuals that we should esteem, because we understand the life-giving power of godly wisdom. People are looking, both in church and out of church, people are looking for so many things. They're looking for entertainment. They're looking for things that tickle their ears. They're looking for a lot of things. But you know what I'm looking for? I'm looking for a fountain of life. And that comes only from those who are wise, because they have taken in the Word of God and they give out the Word of God and they live the Word of God. The next verse in your study book there, under the heading of insight and let's see, what was the other, insight and ignorance. We find chapter 14 of Proverbs, verse 24. Proverbs 14:24 says, "The crown of the wise is their riches, but the foolishness of fools is folly." A life of godliness when you apply the instruction of God's Word to your life, it is conducive to success in every area of your life, including your material affairs, your business, your career, your how you run your household. When you live a life of godliness, it's conducive to success in those things. And the foolishness of ignoring God's instruction, well, that leads to foolish choices in every area of your life. And that leads to harmful choices in your business, in your family, and in your career. So this is why the riches, the crown of wise people are their riches. In other words, there's a certain evidence that there is success. Now, we know that in this life, and we've discussed it already in the study, there are exceptions to this standard. Because we know that Proverbs is not setting they're not fast and hard promises that if you live by faith, if you're godly, you'll always have a lot of money. That's not what these promises are. But it is true that generally speaking, you follow these principles of wise instruction in Scripture, it'll lead to success in all areas of your life. When there's an exception, in other words, when a godly person suffers a financial need, it doesn't mean that they've stopped living godly or sinned necessarily. It does mean simply that if they are continuing to trust the Lord and continuing to apply the wisdom to their life, it's that God is doing something of eternal value in them and or through them. Luke chapter 9. But this proverb, even when that is true, when there's an exception, the proverb still holds true in the light of eternity. Because one day the eternal riches of those who walk in the wisdom of God's instruction will be seen by all. There will be a crown, even if in this life they experienced a financial hardship. We know that if they've trusted God and honored Him with their life, their riches will be on display one day because they lived wisely. Luke 9 and verses 23 to 26. Here we see that even in this life, the exception of a fool who prospers, this proverb still holds true in the light of eternity because their wealth will one day perish. And this is the proverb that, or the parable that Jesus gives here in Luke 9, verse 23 through 26. Then he said to them all, Jesus said to them, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and he himself is destroyed or lost? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man shall be ashamed when he comes in his glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. That's when the exception of those who live foolishly by rejecting God's wisdom. Sometimes in this life it appears like they're rich. It seems like they are successful in everything they do. Well, in those times, when that appears to be the case, remember the story's not over. Now, more often than not, I can point you to case after case where people who make foolish spiritual choices, their life is full of foolish choices in every area of their life, and it brings ruin and snare. So that's the general principle. But I know that when there are exceptions, that when fools prosper, eternity will show their poverty. On the other hand, 2 Timothy 4, verse 8, the eternal crown of the wise, no matter what your success in business or career or family in this life, we know there is coming an eternal crown for those who walk in the wisdom of God's word. 2 Timothy 4, 8. And finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Who are the wise that will have a crown? Those who love the Lord, those who fear him, those who trust him. The next verse from Proverbs in our study is chapter 15 and verse 24. Proverbs 15 and verse 24. The way of life winds upward for the wise, that he may turn away from hell below. Now, in the light of the Old Testament revelation, and we have to first consider these Proverbs in that light, this verse is simply restating the general truth that we've already considered, that godliness, generally speaking, godliness promotes health and longevity. The upward way in life that is emphasized here in the light of the Old Testament revelation is simply the upward way is on, you're on the top side of the ground. You're alive. And hell in this passage more than likely is simply speaking of the grave. This word in the Hebrew can be used to speak of the underworld that we would know as hell, or simply as the grave. And more than likely, it's simply talking about the grave. So once again, the emphasis in the light of the Old Testament revelation is simply godliness promotes life. It's an upward way. Whereas a life of sin and foolishness leads to a premature grave. But as we look at this in the light of the New Testament, we understand there's a lot more to it than just that. And so from the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ, as it was revealed to Paul, we have even a more clear understanding of what the Holy Spirit is instructing us. All who heed the invitation of salvation, all that are wise unto salvation, that's an upward way, not just on top of the earth, but our citizenship is now in heaven. Philippians 3 and verse 20, let's read that. The hope of the gospel goes beyond just living a long, healthy life on this planet. It's eternal life. We are born from above. It's an upward way. Philippians 3 and verses 20 and 21. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. Now, I know that these truths and these passages are so familiar to us, but we need to allow the Holy Spirit as we read them, and this is why we're just taking our time and going through these Proverbs, so we can be reminded and give the Holy Spirit opportunity to remind us that we are not of this world. And so easily, either by our trials, or sometimes by our blessings, or sometimes because of the world circumstances and situations, we get so overwhelmed and distracted and bothered and anxious, and we forget. My citizenship is in heaven. I'm from above, and I'm going home. Now, while I'm here, I'm a pilgrim, and I'm to be faithful, and I have things I need to be a part of, and things that I need to influence, and things that I need to be an example of, but I need to remember I'm going upward, not staying horizontal and not going down. Colossians 3. But even after we're saved and our citizenship is secure, when we as Christians heed the instruction of our loving Father, when we give heed to sound doctrine as taught by the Apostle Paul, when we let it transform our lives, our way continues upward. We understand that every child of God is going to heaven and has a home in heaven. That's up. But we also understand from the teaching of Scripture that in glory, there are different degrees of glory. And if we are wise as the children of God, if we fear God, if we trust Him on a real, practical, daily basis, the way keeps going up until we are offered the very throne to sit in the throne with the Lord Jesus Christ. So the way of wisdom is an upward way. And this is something that, again, we need to value. When we talk about knowing Scripture and applying it and obeying it, it's not just, we should never take it as just rules and regulations that we just try to set down to keep us in line. No. This is the wisdom of God that will keep lifting me higher and higher and higher. And that's what I want. So I'm going to take in the Word of God with joy, with eagerness. I'm going to run to the fountain like it's the water I need because I know I need it. In Colossians 3, in verses 1 to 4, we're to keep looking up. And that leads to some practical decisions on how you live your life, the words of your mouth, your attitudes of your heart, your motives of mind, your relationships, your associations, all of those things are affected when you are wise. And it will take you higher and higher and higher. If then you were raised with Christ, if you've accepted Christ as your Savior, then you have been raised upward. Your citizenship is in heaven. But if that's true, keep seeking those things which are above. Your look is up now, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. And the passage goes on and talks about mortifying the deeds of the flesh. Those things that do not please God, do not honor God, we set those things aside. We put on the life of Christ. We continue to put on the light, let the life of Christ manifest itself in our life. And that goes upward and upward, and we're changed from glory to glory to glory. It's an upward call, and it's an upward way when you are wise and heed the Word of God. The next verse in the heading is chapter 16. And verse 22, Proverbs 16 and verse 22. Understanding is a wellspring of life to him who has it, but the correction of fools is folly. Now that one in the English doesn't immediately pop out with, oh yeah, I get that. At least it doesn't to me. But as I studied some of the meanings of the words here and the different commentaries concerning it, I come up with this paraphrase, which I think states it well. Wisdom is its own reward, and foolishness is its own punishment. Understanding is a wellspring of life to him who has it. If you have understanding, if you understand the will of God and live according to it, it's a wellspring. Because you have it, it's a wellspring. It's its own reward. And the correction of fools is folly. What is it that corrects a fool? What is it that, and the thought is punishment. What is it that punishes a fool? Well, his folly. So wisdom is its own reward and foolishness is its own punishment. And I have found this to be true in both by experience as well as observation. A lot of people think God goes around making people miserable who don't do what he says. You know, he's just going around with a big stick and, well, they didn't do what I said, so I'm just going to make them miserable. That's not how it works. Sin is its own punishment. And because God loves us, that's why he tells us that we're not to walk in those things or to do those things or to participate in those things. It's not because he's just bossing us around. He cares about us. He wants us to have his best. So he says, walk in righteousness and stay away from sin. And he's made for the child of God, he's made every provision for us to walk in righteousness. He's given us the life of his son. I have a nature that can do the will of God. The unbeliever doesn't have that. I do. I've been given the Holy Spirit that enlightens me and enables me to do the will of God. And so if I choose sin, it's because I've chosen sin. And my father doesn't have to say, well, I'm just going to make you miserable. Sometimes he lets, okay, you've made your choice. Now this is the result. He loves us. He protects us. He woos us back if we'll listen. But sin is its own punishment. Proverbs 1. We read this earlier, but let's read it again because it states it plainly here. It's because God loves us that he instructs us in the paths of righteousness. He wants to spare us from the pain of sin. That's how much he loves you. And so when the Holy Spirit convicts you, either by the preaching of a sermon or a lesson, or as you read the Bible, or you're praying and the Spirit convicts you of something, don't wrestle with God and say, God, but why are you so against me having such a good time? Why are you so against me feeling this way? He loves us. Proverbs 1:29-33. Because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would have none of his counsel and despised my every rebuke, wisdom says. Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled to the full with their own fancies. For the turning away of the simple will slay them. The very act of turning away from the will of God will slay them. And the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will dwell safely and will be secure without fear of evil. Such an important truth. If somehow we could just grasp this truth. Sin is its own punishment. Righteousness is its own reward. And I can live righteously because I'm a child of God. The next verse in the list, Proverbs 17 and verse 12. Proverbs 17 and verse 12. Let a man meet a bear robbed of her cubs rather than a fool in his folly. Now that's, I don't know, what do you think of that? A she-bear robbed of her cubs is going to be a pretty nasty beast. But you know who is a nastier beast than a she-bear robbed of her cubs? Man in sin. Man lost in sin is a far more fierce beast. A man who is given over to the folly of sin and self-indulgence is far more dangerous than that bear. You think of all the fierce animals that there are in the animal kingdom, and if you're like me, I like to watch those documentaries and like to watch the animals. Now, I don't watch Shark Week necessarily. I'm not into it that much. But you know those documentaries they have. But I like to watch those nature shows. And I watched one the other day on the beaver. And my, what an engineer God made in that little rodent. And again, for people to think that that just happened. But those things are interesting to me. But you think of the fierce lion and the bears and the grizzly bears that sometimes we hear of tearing up people and eating them. There's a lot of those animals. But who has wreaked the greatest havoc on the human race? Has it been fierce animals? Or has it been man lost in the folly of sin? It's been man, hasn't it? Far worse. So the proverb, I believe, is quite clear. chapter 24 of Proverbs, and verse 7. Proverbs 24 and verse 7. Wisdom is too lofty for a fool. He does not open his mouth in the gate. Now remember, in Bible times, when it speaks of the gate, it's talking about the place where business and judicial affairs were discussed and settled. So it's kind of the downtown of the modern world. That's where things of importance socially and judicially and even militarily, that's where decisions were made. So the fool, he doesn't open his mouth in those areas because he's got nothing to add. To the fool, wisdom seems to be beyond his reach. It's too lofty. Now, if we've learned anything from the chapters we've studied so far, the early chapters in Proverbs, what we've understood is that the wisdom of God is offered to everyone. The fool is specifically targeted to come and be wise. The simple one, come be wise. Even the arrogant are encouraged to come and be wise. So anyone can receive the wisdom of God. That means anyone can be saved, and anyone can begin to grow spiritually, who will simply receive the invitation of wisdom. So the Proverbs is not saying a fool will never be wise, because we know from experience, even a fool is made wise when they say yes to the will of God. But in the mind of the fool, many fools reject wisdom because it's too lofty for me. I would have to give up too much. I would have to pay too big a price if I say yes to the will of God. It's just too much. It's out of my reach. That's his own mind. That's his own thinking. Now, as a result of rejecting the wisdom of God, the fact is he has nothing to offer. In the conversation, in the gate, where these public affairs are discussed and settled. Now, sadly, this truth doesn't keep fools from speaking in public places. It should, and what they have to say has absolutely no positive bearing on the situation. But we all know many a celebrity, many a politician who foolishly reject the wisdom of God. They open their mouth all the time in the gate, don't they? And they talk about their input on social issues, and we're having a bunch of those these days. Well, this is what I think about this issue, and this is what I think about that. And you listen to them and you shake your head and wonder how any one person can be so foolish to think that that helps the situation at all. But that's the fool who's lost in sin. And to simply take God at his word, these fools who speak such foolish things, they said, no, we'd have to give up too much to believe that. It would cost us too much. That wisdom of God is too lofty. They don't call it the wisdom of God, but we know what it is. It's too lofty. We'll just stick with our foolishness. And they do, and the world gets darker and darker. And we should not be surprised. The next verse, actually the next two verses, Proverbs 24, verses 13 and 14. And we'll close with this tonight. My son, eat honey because it is good, and the honeycomb, which is sweet to your taste. So shall the knowledge of wisdom be to your soul. If you have found it, there is a prospect, or the thought behind the word is an end or a future. There's a future for you. And your hope will not be cut off. Now, the word in the Hebrew translated hope, it's actually the exact same word that is translated cord, and it means a cord, that Rahab used to hang out her window. Remember when Joshua went in to conquer the land? Rahab the harlot put out that scarlet cord. It's the same word. And what it means is that there is a hope of salvation. There's a hope of redemption, of deliverance. And this is why we should seek knowledge and the wisdom of God. Again, it's dealing with our attitude toward the Word of God. The analogy is that just as honey is desired, because, number one, it's sweetness, it's sweet. And we like things that are sweet for the most part. But it also has nutritional value. And just as people eat honey in the honeycomb because it's desirable and nutritious, that's how you should look at the instruction of God's Word. It's not a rule book that you just detest. It's something that you desire because you know it's sweet to the soul and it brings health and strength for time and for eternity. Too many people, both certainly the unsaved, but many saved people, consider the instruction of the Bible to be unpleasant and to be restrictive. But men and women of faith, those who fear God, those that are truly wise, they find the opposite to be true. And we'll close with David's statement in Psalm 19. This was his attitude. And he lived under the law of Moses. How much more should this be our attitude in this age of grace, when we've been given such a full revelation of God's plans and purposes? But even under the law, David said, this is sweet, this is good, this is desirable, I want to know more. In Psalm 19, verses 7 to 11, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. That's true not only of initial salvation, but how many times since being saved have you had the Word of God, by the power and the convicting power of the Spirit of God, convert your thinking, change the direction you are going, simply because the Word of God was quick and powerful and cut through all of your excuses and justifications and said, no, this is what's good for you. The law of the Lord is perfect and it converts the soul. I'm glad that he converts me. First for salvation, but then ongoing that I might continue to draw closer to him. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord, they're right and they make you miserable. I wanted to see how many were actually still awake out there. What does it say? It rejoices the heart. Does the Word of God, does studying the Word of God, does reading the Word of God, hearing it preached and taught, does it truly rejoice your heart? If it doesn't, then you need some converting done in your life. The Word of God will do that. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Well, these truths, again, nothing's new here we read tonight, but may these things never cease to thrill our heart. Because they're true. And may not only they not cease to thrill our heart, but may they stir us. I think Brother Tom in his prayer mentioned that. May we truly be stirred to be faithful, to serve him, to worship him, to be used of him, to serve him, and to bring others to this wisdom found in the will of God. Well, let's stand. We'll be dismissed tonight.